Pastor Greg, I know, has been preaching through Paul's letter to the Philippians, and not to interrupt the flow of what he is preaching, I've decided to go off of that and look at the text that was read this morning from Mark chapter 1. It's a text that gives us some insight on prayer, which is a central discipline to our spiritual life. In his book, Herbert Brokering has this following prayer: Lord, your Holy Spirit did come, and there is great power on earth. Open my eyes to see what goes by unseen. Open my ears to hear what I've never heard. Open my mind to think what I have never thought. Open my emotions to feel what I have dread to feel. Open my spirit to believe what I go around doubting. Put the power to work and multiply the strength for my life. As I grow in these days, may I increase in power and in your spirit, Jesus. Amen. There's a story about one of the great sailing vessels of the 1700s that circled the globe. In this particular vessel got stranded off the coast of South America. And it was stranded there for weeks because there was no wind to fill its sails. And as it was stuck, it started running out of water. In fact, it ran out of water. And after weeks, the crew became ill, and some of them died because of the lack of fresh provisions and fresh water. They were feeling rather hopeless. But then they saw a ship off in the distance, and they flagged an SOS. And as that ship came closer, they flagged again that they were out of water. That ship that had been coming closer to them flagged back, saying, "Drop your bucket right where you are." They did not know that they were in a pool of fresh water. They thought that they were still in salt water, which would have been deadly to drink. But they were in a pool of fresh water that was coming off of the Amazon River. They had an immediate resource available to them, of which they were unaware. From time to time, I wonder if we feel like that crew felt. I know that there are times when I feel that way. Am I really in a fresh pool of water? When life seems to get stuck with no power to move it? When life feels like it's drying up no matter the best efforts we give it? When no matter how hard we work at living, it can feel unfulfilling? For it is those moments that God gives us a message. He's saying, let down your bucket right where you are, for you are living. We are living as followers of Jesus in the midst of a pool of God's fresh, life-giving presence. And it's available to us if we take the time to avail ourselves of it, as Brokering's prayer ask God to open our eyes to see what we haven't seen, to open our ears to hear what God is speaking to us, to open our mind to be more clear about God's presence in our life. From Mark's gospel this morning, Jesus was letting down his bucket right where he was when he was overwhelmed by all that he had to do, when he was under the pressure of expectation from others, when he was feeling depleted of strength, and when he needed clarity about the direction that God, his Father, was continuing to send him. Mark tells us that Jesus got up early that morning and he went out to a quiet place to think, and to get out his pocket calendar and begin to plan the hours of his day and the coming week. No, that's not what he did. He was there to pray. to talk with and to listen to God, his Father. For his life, for his work, for his direction, for his strength, Jesus was not relying on his own initiative to sort that out. He was in connection with his Father through prayer. He turned to God. Mark doesn't tell us what the words were that Jesus prayed. We don't have those words. And I'm not taking liberty, but I'd like to just maybe kind of reconstruct what Jesus' prayer might have been out of the situation in which he found himself that day. I think one of the things he first asked for was strength. The circumstances, the situations in which Jesus takes time to pray was filled with all kinds of activities in which he expended his strength already. And he needed to find a refreshment, a replacement for that. Beginning with Mark 1, verse 21, which we didn't read, Jesus had been responding to all kinds of people's needs. He spent time teaching in the synagogue. A demon challenged him through a man that the demon resided in. He healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and when word got around that he had done that, everybody flocked to where Jesus was because they wanted to be healed as well and to have demons cast out. Needy and lonely people wanted to get close to him to sense his compassion. And all of this in the span of one day, which was more than enough to wear down the most stalwart of any person. And the prospects for the next day, they weren't changing. They were still going to be the same. Jesus, knowing the ancient prayers of the Israelites, could have gone to something like what we read from Psalm 71 this morning. His prayer could have been, "In you, O Lord, I take my refuge. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Be not far from me. O God, come quickly to help me." That's a prayer for strength. That's a prayer for knowing God's presence in the moment when he needed to know that for the resources of the day that was ahead of him. And then perhaps as he quietly listened in his own heart and in his own spirit to what God's response could have been, perhaps his mind and his heart went to another one of the Psalms, Psalm 89. "My hand will sustain you. Surely my arm will strengthen you." Those are God's words that when we hear them, they become an answer to our prayer, to Jesus' prayer. As we get up in the morning and start our day, in whose strength do we do that? If we live out the day in our own strength, don't we find that our strength can be diminished as the day goes on? I know that's true for me. About 3 months ago, I started a new morning practice. When I wake up and before I get out of bed, I say these words: "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Sometimes I alter that a bit. Like maybe, "Lord, this is the day that you have made. Help me to focus on your presence and be glad in it." Now, I'll admit, there have been days when I haven't done that. And I've told my wife, and I've told some other people too, that on those days when I haven't done that, my day just feels a little bit off. When Jesus started his day praying for strength, he was ready. He was ready to get up and to live into another day, to face it with God's strength already implanted in him. know, the same is true for us. The same can be true for us. No matter the intensity of the demands and the expectations of the day, we need that spiritual strength. And God is ready there to give us all the strength we need, physically, emotionally, spiritually, if we reach out and take that time to ask for it. Second, I believe Jesus prayed for God's will to be done. Jesus had decisions to make. The day before, the previous day, had been very successful as people were healed, as people became aware of the presence and the love of God in their life through Jesus. Yet, there were many who did not have that experience with Jesus. Jesus didn't have the opportunity to minister to all of them. And this day that he was starting in this lonely place praying, would present the opportunity for him to go back and to catch the momentum of the previous day. However, when his disciples find him, he says, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going back there. We're not going back to Capernaum. The disciples must have been really confused about, Jesus, you've got this golden opportunity to go back and to minister to people who are ready and anticipating your coming, and you're not going back? It's the right thing to do, Jesus. Let's go back. Don't you know you have a captive audience just waiting eagerly to open themselves to all that you can offer and say? Well, Jesus had been spending time in prayer, and he had been asking God what the right thing for him to do would be. And he was clear about that when the disciples came back. He was ready to move on to other towns and be with people there. Something I wonder about sometimes is if I have asked God to empower just my activity that I want to do, or is it that I'm open to what God would have me to do? There's a story about that in the Old Testament. It's a story about King David, and it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. And David had this plan to build a house, to build a place of worship for God. And it was his plan. He was putting everything in place. But the prophet Nathan came to him one day and he said, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought up Israel from Egypt to this day. Then later, verses 12 to 13 continues, the Lord declares to you that when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up an offspring to succeed you. He is the one who will build a house for my name. David had good intentions. He had good intentions about a place where people could come and worship God. But perhaps without realizing it, his good intentions were not what God's intentions was. I wonder if sometimes our prayers might be like that. It's not that we are not faithful. Like David, we may be well-intentioned without at times seeking God's mind about what it is that we are deciding or how it is that we are moving. When I retired, there was a question about where Judy and I would live. And I see Terry Marks here. She knows this story. I was on a retreat 6 months before I was going to retire. And I was struggling with God. Actually, I was wrestling with God about where we were going to live. And I wanted to live in Florida. I wanted to stay there. And I had established several ministries there that I thought I could continue with. And I even said, Lord, Judy wants to move back to Illinois. Can you change your mind? Well, guess what? We're here. But on this retreat, I was walking along a riverbed that was filled with billions and billions and billions of more white-colored stones. And there was a stone that caught my attention. It was gray in color, and it was about 4 inches long and about a quarter of an inch thick. And I just dismissed it. And finally, I was drawn to pull it out of the other stones. And believe it or not, that stone was literally in the shape of the state of Illinois. God knew something I didn't know, that here was a place where ministry could be continued and fulfilling, and it has been for these years that I've been retired. As Jesus knew, so it's true for us. Prayer is the means by which we can be in tune with God's intentions. And when we are in tune with God, God will show us the right ways, and he will empower us. Jesus took the opportunity to pray to gain strength and direction for living out his day, to open his ears to what God had to say, to open his mind to what God was thinking, what God's mind was all about. And when Jesus did that, he received the strength and the direction that he needed. There's something else Jesus received that day, I believe. It may not have been something that he sought, but it was probably something that came nonetheless. And that was a sense of peace. These were whirlwind days for Jesus, with all kinds of pressures and all kinds of expectations to make decisions about what to do and when to do it. We probably all know from our own personal experiences that this kind of situation can leave us confused and sometimes with an inner turmoil that can easily upset any day. What I sense is that when Jesus got up from his time of prayer, he not only knew the mind of God about what he should do, the direction he should go, but he was at peace with it. Simon Peter, he's called Simon in the text, was one of the disciples that's named here. And when I think of him, and when I think of peace at the same time, my mind goes back to that time when they were out on the lake in the boat, the disciples, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And if you remember the story, Peter says, Lord, if that's you, can I come and walk on the water towards you? And Jesus says, of course, come. So Peter steps over the side of the boat, and he starts to walk on the water. And everything was okay until he saw the confusion of the waves and the winds around him. They became a distraction that took his focus off of Jesus. And when he looked at what was going on around him instead of on Jesus, what happened to him? He started to sink. There is so much that fills any one of our days, so much that can be a distraction, so much that can create tension and turmoil, causing what? Our spirits to somewhat sink. However, if we do what Peter first did, keeping our eyes on Jesus, we will not sink in spirit. Or if we do, we can do also what Peter did. And that was what? to call out to Jesus, "Help, save me." And Jesus did. Maybe we live with circumstances that we can't change. Maybe we live as Jesus did in the whirlwind of demands and expectations and distractions. But in the midst of all of that, we can still experience peace. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, we read of Isaiah saying this of God: "You keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because they trust you." We can keep our mind stayed on God, focused on God, the same way Jesus did that morning, by being in prayer, bringing to God the concerns and the questions that we have, the situations and the events in which we live, the pain and the brokenness that keeps us from being whole, the wonderings and the hopes of our lives. I don't know what challenges or decisions or need for strength and direction that each of you may have this morning, but I know this: God knows. And God can give the strength, the direction, and the peace that is needed for each one of us. When, in the closing words, or in the words of the closing hymn that we're going to sing in a moment, we take the name of Jesus with us, and when temptations, when the demanding situations of life gather round, we can breathe that holy name in prayer. Amen. As we conclude, I'd like to take this time to pray with and for all of us. And to begin, if we would just take a moment, individually, silently, just breathe that name of Jesus in prayer, and perhaps just sit there, maybe not even with any words within ourselves, but just sit there in the presence of Jesus and breathe his name in prayer. Gracious, loving God, we, like Jesus, have been in your presence this morning, not as early as he was that day we read about, but in this hour, it's been our time to sit with each other in your presence. Here you have opened our eyes to catch a glimpse of your glory. You have opened our ears to hear your voice and something sung or said, or in the silence. Here you have opened our minds to rethink our relationship with you, as you want us to draw closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for your reassuring voice that sometimes can be muted by all the activities of our daily life. Thank you for the strength, the guidance, and peace with which you have gifted us this morning. And help us to take those gifts with us through this coming week, so that we can be more whole in body, soul, mind, and spirit. This past week, you were present with more than 5,000 of our youth in Knoxville, Tennessee, at CHIC, where perhaps some first came to faith and others were challenged and renewed in their faith. May the passion and excitement, the learning and transformation of their CHIC experience continue to be a powerful, spirit-filled experience in these days weeks and years to come. We especially pray for Sergio and Mercedes, Paul, Sophia, and Lindsay, and look forward to their sharing of their experience next Sunday. Lord, as CHIC is one of the covenant's ministries for which we are thankful, we also pray for its other ministries, for the impact of faith around the world with our missionaries, for our ways of showing love, mercy, and justice. And we pray for this time of coming transition with new leadership in the Office of Presidency and Ordered Ministry and at North Park, for the wisdom they need in guiding your church. We pray. We pray also for the leadership of our country. We pray for our country in these complex and complicated days, that wisdom would be sought from you as our leaders are making national and international decisions. Lord, we thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this congregation, along with others who here find fellowship and service, nurturing and teaching vital for their lives. As they care and pray for one another, we pray for Pastor Greg, who is caring for his friend Randy in North Carolina today. We pray for those who may be wrestling with difficult decisions, for those who are ill and needing healing, like Nancy Edison, for those who are expecting babies, Nick and Nikki, Mark and Julie, Nick and Kelsey. May they know you're watching over them. For these days of vacation and relaxing during the summer months, for comings and goings, may these summer days be ones of renewal and refreshment for each one. We pray for those who are grieving, especially Lori, Keith, Julia, Desiree, and the extended family of Dave Ellison. We thank you for Dave and his faithful service to you. And as he recently told his family that he was ready to be with Jesus, we thank you that even though it's hard for his family, Lord, he's now with you. We pray that in their grieving, Dave's family will be comforted by your loving presence and the love and care of each other. Think of the church at Trailer Estates and how they have been recipients of Dave's ministry for so many years, and how they can now gather around his family and be your church to them. And now, Lord, as we get ready to leave this place, we thank you that you go with us. May we go with a song in our mouth, a joy in our hearts, a confidence in our living, that all we do in word and deed will be pleasing to you as we take the name of Jesus with us, as it is in your name that we have prayed. And all God's people say, amen. Should we join together in singing hymn number 662, Take the Name of Jesus With You?